We're glad you're here this morning. We encourage you to follow along as we look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. And to tie in with those verses concerning marriage and marriage, divorce, and remarriage, we're going to look at a few things that God has joined together in other areas of the Bible also. Simply, there are some things that God in His Word has joined together. And we have no right as men and women or people of the world or people in the church to take those things apart and separate them. Not only has God put certain things together that are to stay together, unless He gives a reason or a cause that He justifies Himself, then we don't have a right to take those two things apart, because God has spoken and God's Word is real, and we are in danger if we change God's Word. Not only that, there are some things that God has separated in His Word, and we're going to look at a few of those things, not in this lesson perhaps, but maybe in the next few Sundays, and I guess some of these lessons are going to be in tune with what Brother Hall is going to have in his lesson during the meeting. And so I may have to wait a while before I preach those lessons, because I don't want to duplicate what he's going to do on those specific subjects. But what is God has joined together, we see that what God has joined together, let no man separate. The fact is that God expects us to appreciate His Word and respect His Word. Going back to the Bible, the Word of God, we understand that the Bible belongs to God. The Bible, the Biblos, is inspired. It is God-breathed. So the things that are recorded on the page of the Bible from Genesis 1 through Revelation chapter 2 are the things that God wants man to know, and it's a record of the history of man from the time that God created man. We need to realize in the wisdom of God in giving us this book that God has always been. He is from eternity to eternity. He's never been a time when He didn't exist, and there'll never be a time when He does not exist. So God is overall. Genesis 1 and verse 1, God looked around, and the earth and the expanse was void and without form. And so God created the heavens and the earth. All things that was made by Him. And there was nothing that was made that was not made by Him. And He made each thing in sequence on 6 days. And then He made man. And He made man to be a living soul. And He made the man then to be like God, and that we have a spirit. God is a spirit. God does not die. He will not die. And so we have a spirit which is eternal. And this spirit dwells on in this body for the period of time that it dwells in this physical body, maybe 40 years or 90 years, but it's going to depart this body. My spirit will leave and yours will leave, and so we will go back to the dust of the earth from which we came as far as our body is concerned, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. We understand then that the spirit will eternally then not be dead, but the body will be dead. But the body will be raised, all will be raised, and so we're going to be transformed into heaven by the Son of God if we've been faithful, and there have eternal life in heaven. In a spiritual sense, we'll be there. We don't know what form we'll be in, but we know we'll be in a body like unto His own as He desires to give us. And so we'll be there eternally. So looking at God's Word and thinking about what He said, it's important that we listen to what the Word of God tells us to do and not change anything. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, verses 1 and 2, Moses warned the children of Israel not to add to or take from the things that are written, for God does not allow us to add to or take from, even in the law of Moses. And then over Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul instructed that we're not to change anything in the gospel. He said, I'm amazed or marveled that you are so soon removed from the gospel. And he goes on then and says, if any man preach another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there are those who would pervert the gospel of Christ, let him be accursed. We're going in 2 John verses 9 to 11. Not to bid those God speed who would transgress the doctrine of Christ, because that's unacceptable to God, and we won't be acceptable if we accept that and obey it. Revelation 22 and 18 and 19, John instructed that we're not to add to the things that are written in the book. If we do, the plagues that are in the book will be given to us, and we're not to take from the plagues that are in the book, the things that are in the book. For if we do, we take away our part out of the book of life. So God instructs we're not to add to or take from His book. So what God has put in His book to be together, we need to leave together. And there might be some things that God has put in His book that He's put together, but He gives a reason for why they can be separated. And thus we get to Matthew 19:1-9 this morning. A man and a wife is to be joined together as husband and wife. He made Adam and He made Eve, and He put them together as husband and wife. And that was God's plan for life. And Moses said, you know, why did these Israelites have the hardness of their heart? Well, they wanted to divorce for any cause. Moses said, that's not acceptable. It wasn't that way from the beginning, but because of the hardness of your heart. God allowed it to be so, not because it's what God justifies, but because of the hardness of your heart. And Jesus is saying then, that God, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and the only exception to that is infidelity. If one of those partners are unfaithful, goes out and commits a fornication on the other one, then that person has a right to put that away when that person goes off into that sin and dwells in it. So we need to understand that there's an exception. So then what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But what we have is in the laws of the land, laws of the canon, laws of the state, and in the realm of so many people, is that man has made laws where God has not, and they have allowed things to be made right, supposedly, in the sight of men, when it's not ever going to be right in the sight of God. Because unless someone, if they put someone away for infidelity, they have a right to be married again to one to whom the Bible says they can marry, who is not caught up in that same sin. But otherwise, what is the rule? The rule is death. Until death do you part. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, and we're going to see then that there's a rule in this that we need to follow. He says, Romans 7, 2 and 3, for the married woman is bound by the law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning her husband. So then, listen now, so then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. So what's the law? One man, one woman for life until death. When that husband or wife dies, the other one is free to remarry in the Lord, according to God's law and according to God's plan. But any other separation and division of that marriage vow does not give that person the right to marry someone else, because if so, they are living in adultery. So what God has joined together, let's don't try to change, because it's not going to make it right, because God has not changed it. God has not allowed it. So the joining together in marriage of a man and a woman is to be one of union, a union that's of love and of a commitment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. And so if there's more teaching done on God's Word today and from God's Word to the young people to understand that you're to love your husband, you're to love your wife, you've got to make a commitment for life, until death do you part. And anything other than infidelity is not acceptable. You can't remarry. If you separate, you're going to have to remain single, or you're going to be in adultery or an adulteress. So God has spoken. So then what God has joined together, let no man separate. We must keep within the bounds of God's law. Well, secondly, God has joined together not only the husband and wife, but He's joined together them as the fact that they are husband and wife. But before we get into the faith plus works, let's back up just a little bit. I had a few comments I want to make on this. God has joined together one man and one woman for life, and God has joined together them as husband and wife, and we're not to change that, let no man separate. But now in our society today, we not only have the idea that people can live in adulterous marriages and unscriptural relationships and everything's just hunky-dory, they believe that, and God does not accept it, so we don't have a right to change it. On the other hand, we have people today, and incidentally, yesterday I noticed this person was taking these pictures of these two fellows, young guys. And they were all hugged up. They were all hugged up together. He was taking that picture. This wasn't a couple of good old boys like I went to school with taking a picture call. This was a situation where, you know, I'm not going to judge these people, but the thing is, their actions toward each other, their mannerisms toward each other, They were apparently together as two guys. And so you have the two guys together, the two women together. And you have this relationship in the world today where people say, well, it's okay, even though God has not joined two men together in a relationship or two women together in a relationship, although God has condemned that from the Old Testament until now and continues to condemn that, well, we're going to say it's okay. So people want to say it's okay. Well, why is it okay? Well, because everybody else is doing it. Well, everybody else is not doing it. A lot of people are doing it, but it doesn't make it right. Doesn't matter if the majority of the world do it. It doesn't make it right. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says that the majority of people are going to be lost, because the majority of the people are going to go down the wide gate and the broad way that leads to destruction, and few that are going to go the narrow way of God. So this thing of what God has joined together is a man and a woman who have the right to be married. How long? 4 months. What's the exception to the law? What's the rule? Exception to the rule? The rule is death. What's the exception? One of them goes off and becomes unfaithful. The one who is not unfaithful has the right to put them away. If that one's been put away, marries someone and claims to be in a relationship, they are not on the right side of God. So why God is joined together? Let us not join things together that God has not joined together, like two men and two women. Well, faith and works God has joined together. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. We won't take time to read all those verses, but they all talk about faith plus works, especially verses 17 and 26, which say, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So here's the assumption of a lot of people. A lot of people say, you know, I believe in God, and I believe this Bible is His Word, so I'm okay. A lot of people have the idea that as long as you believe there's a God, you don't really have to do anything. You just have faith. And you have TV evangelists, and you have people preaching in places today who will tell people, if you just believe, all you got to do is God will take care of us. Well, certainly we must believe, Hebrews 11, verse 6. But he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Certainly we must believe. And James 2 tells us that faith is essential. But he also says that faith plus obedient works is necessary to what? In order to please God. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So some people who think that faith alone will get them to heaven, they need to read the Bible and say that God has joined faith plus obedient works together. We can't earn salvation. We're saved by the grace of God. But to be saved in that grace of God, it involves a faith that obeys. Abraham, he was told of God to go and leave his family and go into a far country. He made his plans and he went to that far country. And by faith, Abraham obeyed, and by works that obeyed, he was justified. And so you see then that there's the idea. When we have the faith in God, he tells us there's that faith plus works have to be joined together. It must be done in order for us to please God and have salvation. We already talked about Hebrews 11, verses 6 through 8. But what about obeying God? Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? He that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. So God has put together more than calling on God, more than just believing, but a calling on God with faith that obeys. Obedient works. What was it that justified Noah? Obedient works. Noah was a man that was of faith. He was obeying God. And the whole world around him was sinking in sin, Genesis chapter 6. All the thoughts and imagination of the hearts of man were only evil continually. And Noah found grace in the sight of God. And he said, Noah, I'm going to destroy this earth. It repenteth me that these men that I have made and these people are so sinful. And he said, I'm going to destroy them. So what you need to do, Noah, is you need to build an ark. And you need to build it this big and this high and this strong. And put the door here and this here. And make it out of the gopher wood. Because I'm going to destroy this thing with this place and these people with water. And by faith, notice, by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Noah preached for those years to the people around them, telling them that the flood's coming, it's going to destroy it. And he ended up being saved out of the water in the ark, safe in the ark. Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, eight righteous souls, were saved. What was it that Noah did? What did he join together so that he and his family were saved? His faith was his obedient works. Save them from the destruction. What's going to save us when we have faith that obeys what God says? We are blessed in God through Christ Jesus, and we can be saved. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Paul talked to the church there in Thessalonica, teaching, talking, telling those Christians that there's coming a day when Jesus is going to come and judge the world. And incidentally, he is. But he says that he's going to come to you that are weary, rest with us. Because Jesus is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and what? And who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So then there's the faith plus works that gets us in the right relationship with God. We don't need to try to separate something that God has joined together. Faith plus works is essential. Well, baptism and salvation is essential. Again, there's a lot of people in the world today who will tell you that you don't have to be baptized. If you just put your hand right here and pray the prayer of the sinner's prayer, you'll be saved. If you just believe, you'll be saved. If you just let Jesus come into your heart, you'll be saved. Well, we do have to believe. Faith is essential. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But we have to do something. We have to obey. But is baptism essential? Well, what does Mark 16 and 16 say? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. What is that? God has joined together the hearing and the believing of the gospel and what? Baptism. Without baptism, our sins can't be washed away because the waters represent the blood of Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Therefore you are buried with him in baptism, that you should rise to walk in newness of life. Buried in the waters that represent the blood of Christ by faith, and we do arise out to walk in newness of life because sins have been washed away. Baptism and salvation are essential. Those who tell you that we can be saved without salvation, be saved without baptism or before baptism, need to read their Bibles. Because he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38. When Peter preached that first sermon to those in Pentecost, he said, repent and be baptized. Pardon? Repent and be baptized. Some of you. Repent and be baptized. You that have traveled here for 200 miles to Jerusalem for this to get together. No. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, why do you think he's telling them that? Because God has joined hearing and belief and baptism together. We need to understand that baptism is essential. Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul said, when he was now known as Saul, and he was stopped on the road to Damascus and told him to go into the city there and be told him what to do, he was told by Ananias to arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, doing what? Washing away your sins. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, even so now faith doth also save us. Even so now baptism doth also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience unto God. And some versions say, even so baptism now saves us not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there are many other verses that we could look at that show that God has joined baptism and salvation together. I'm going to tell you. You look at a lot of Greek books, doctrines of faith, listen to a lot of preachers, and listen to a lot of people in general, and they'll tell you, baptism is all it is. It don't really matter. You can do it or you don't. You don't have to. And I'll just tell you, we'll go ahead and we look at some of the examples we find when you go to the Hiscox Baptist Church Manual, and you go to the Pendleton's Manual. You go in there and you look in their manual. It's not what the Bible says. But they say that they've already been saved because they prayed for them. And because they prayed the sinner's prayer and they've been saved and Christ has entered into their heart, then now we're going to baptize you. because we voted on you as a candidate for baptism, and the church has said we're going to accept you as a member, so we're baptizing you so you can be a member of the church. What? For the remission of sins? For salvation? No. Because they say you're already saved. Are we saved before baptism? No. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. Does baptism, do we have a right to vote on someone's account of baptism, believing they've already been saved? No, you're not saved until you're baptized. And once we're baptized, who does the adding? Is there a group of people that votes on someone and says, oh yes, he's a good candidate for baptism? Baptism is going to add him to the church, to our church. And we've accepted him already, and the church is already saved, so we're going to baptize him to be a member of our church. Now, that's not what the Bible says. He that believeth, he believeth in the baptized shall be saved. And in that instance, in Acts chapter 2, you go back to Peter's sermon in verse 36 and 37, when he preached Christ to them, they believed. They were pricked in their heart. Many brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so he went further then to say in verse 41 that they that had received the word, that they were baptized. And look over to verse 47. Who did the adding? Was it a deacon? Was it a pastor? Was it a group there that voted together to say, this person's been saved, let's be baptized? No. The Lord was adding to the church daily. Who? Those that were being saved. Who were being saved present? Those that were hearing, who had faith, who obeyed, and who were baptized. We've got to be careful what we take apart. And we need to leave things together that God has put together. Well, God has joined together salvation and the church. And you invite someone to a Bible study or a church service and say, oh, I'm fine. You just go ahead. I don't believe I need to attend the church. And you say, well, what's your condition? I'm saved. I'm a Christian, they'll say. But I don't believe I have to attend to be a part to get myself to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a dangerous thing when someone decides to separate themselves from the church, because the church is what's going to be saved. And we're going to look at it. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. We're saved, we're added to the church by the Lord. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So if Christ adds to the church by virtue of the fact we believe, we repent, we confess, and we're baptized, and at that point we're saved, he adds to the church, where are we? We're in his body. What's going to be saved? The body of Christ. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, we see the Apostle Paul talking about Jesus Christ coming the last day. And what's Jesus going to do with his own, the saved, that are in his body, the church? What is he going to do with them? Well, he says there, as we look at verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then comes the end. When he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, what is Christ going to deliver over to the Father and up to the Father in heaven to be there eternally when he gives up all power and dominion and rule on this over the church? He's going to give it back to the Father. Who's going to be there? The church. Who are in the church? The saved. Can we separate salvation in the church? No, we can't. And we can, but we're not doing what God says. So the church is his body. He himself being the Savior of it. Well, God has joined together the church and Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people today who will say that, well, you know, we've got so-and-so that's the head of our church. We've got this council that's the head of our church. We've got this man that's the head of our church. And so, but who is Christ? Who is the head? He is the head of the church, and you can't separate that. Because God has joined together the church and Jesus Christ as the head. Not only has he joined the church and Jesus Christ together as him being the head of it, the body belongs to Christ, which is the church. You can't separate it. If you do separate that, then you've taken apart what God has put together, and we're going to be in danger of losing our soul. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Well, he did build that church. Peter preached that first sermon. And the Lord built his church by virtue of the fact when the gospel was preached, people heard it, they believed it, they were baptized, and the Lord added people to the church. Who were being added? Those who were being saved. The church and Jesus are inseparable if we go with the Bible. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul called the Ephesian elders together, and he told them to shepherd the church of God. over which the Lord has made, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Which what? Which He purchased with His own blood. Who does the church belong to? It belongs to Christ. Because He bought it with His precious blood. And Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him to be His head over all things to the church. So, it's inseparable. Christ is the head. He's the Savior of the body. The body is the church. So, we function according to what the head says. We follow His direction. And so, we are members in His body. Those who are being saved and those who are obeying His will. Colossians 1:18. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. I don't believe we need to take on our shoulders the risk of trying to separate the church from Christ, or separate ourselves from the church, because I want to be in that body that He's coming to get, and that's the church. And I want to be in Christ. Because outside of Christ, we don't have His blessings. Well, what is God joined together? He's joined together Jesus Christ and the church. There's coming a time we're going to be judged. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent. Because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. When the judgment day comes, there's no separating us from Jesus Christ, because He's going to be the one that judges all people, the saved and the lost. All nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll judge one by one, each one, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Some will hear Him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, in everlasting fire, I never knew you." He'll put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. "Come, ye blessed of my Father, enjoy the blessings prepared for you." And Jesus is going to prepare a place for those who obey Him. John 14, 1 through 3. He's built that place in heaven. He has those mansions. And those who obey God will hear Him at the judgment say, "Well done, come in." And those who have not, depart. We can't separate Jesus Christ in the judgment. But before we finish up our lesson this morning, I just want to put an illustration to you on board. There's some things that God has done in His book that He's joined together that we don't need to separate, but there's a lot of things religiously that men of the last several years have separated that God put together. First of all, I want you to understand that the church, there's the church that God built, and there's the church, the local church, such as Jerusalem or Ephesus or somewhere. And so there's things the church can do. He has separated the church and the fact that the individuals who make up the church, He has separated the work of certain things the individual can do and some things the church can do. But what some people have done, they have taken on themselves to say that anything the individual can do, the church can do. But the Bible draws a distinction in that. He comes into the local church. The local church can be involved in evangelism, or that is the spread of the gospel. The local church can do that without the support of Lord's money. So there's the preaching of the gospel, evangelism. And then there's the idea of those who are needy saints. That can be done by the local church, but He gives specifications to what the local church can do. And so evangelism and helping those who are needy saints, and then there are things He said the local church is to do then within the realm of spending the Lord's money and way of worship. So we can do that as a local group. But He does not allow us, the local church, to get involved in things that individuals can do. And so some of them may be the same, some may be different. That's a whole lesson in itself that we're going to study on Sunday night in regard to the church and the work of it. Well, there's some things that have happened over the last 100 and 150 years religiously, and even it goes back all the way back to Constantinople and Rome, and when the things went off into Catholicism. The idea is that people have separated what God has said concerning the church and what the church can do. For instance, men has come in and they said, "Well, we can come up with this missionary society, and this missionary society, what we will do is we will have this central place for the missionary society. And what you got is a church here, a church here, a church here, and you send your money and you send your support to this on the oversight of this board. And what we will do, we will decide where the money goes and to what preacher it's going to. See, they've separated what the church is to do as a local church itself and separated it out and put it into a missionary society. That's not scriptural. Nowhere in the Bible can you find that. Because what it is, each local church is to send to that man. Well, this church may send to this man. That's the way God decided that the church would help, the money would be to that man. And the oversight of who? The local elders. When you do this, the oversight of the local elders is gone. You put it into a group that God has not authorized. So God is not separated that way. He will not tolerate it. And so we need to understand that what God has joined together, let us not separate. Let us not separate the work the church is to do on the oversight of the local elders into a something that's run by men, which is wrong. And then, of course, then there's institutionalism. There's the idea that here you got this institutionalism wherein here's the local church, and the work of the church is simply edification, teaching, spreading of the gospel, and helping of saints that have needs. That's the work of the local church as a group. But what people have done, they have said, well, the church can't do it, so we're going to come up here, we're going to do it, we're going to get over here, we're going to get involved in institutionalism. So churches have gotten involved using the Lord's money to go up here to this school. And so this church and this church and this church, they'll send money to this school. And then you got up here and you've got this college, and here's these churches, they'll send money to this college. Nowhere in the Bible will you find there's use for the Lord's money to support a school or a college. Schools and colleges ought to be supported, but it ought to come under individuals, not under the work of the local church. I'm telling you, brethren, if people have separated all this out, when God says, this is what you do. And we'll look at this a little bit closer later on, but I have the idea that here's what God wants us to do. Take what He says, believe what He says, because He's put certain things together. Very quickly, one last point. I may go over a couple of minutes this morning, but I'll try not to take very long. Let's go back. Not only how institutionalism they're getting into, but here it is now. What men have done, they have separated the work of the local church, which again is edification, helping those that are in need, and the spreading of the gospel. That's the work of the church. So that's what the church is to be involved in. But what they've got, people have said, well, you know, let's get the missionary society. Well, that's wrong. On the wrong side, institutionalism, that's wrong. That's not scripture. So then you got people who come in and say, okay, what we need to do is that we're going to get involved in recreation. We're going to get involved in recreation. And so churches are getting involved in recreation. If you don't believe it, you just look out and you see who all is involved in recreation and entertainment. They're involved in it. Big in it. And just rolling along. You keep on going and they get more of the goal, the more entertainment they have and more recreation they have. And it's outside of what God has said. Now, individuals may get together and go out and have some entertainment or recreation together, but not the work of the church. Not the use of the Lord's money as people are doing it today. And if you'll notice, there's already signs up all around the county and around the state. You drive by a building and they'll say, come to our harvest get together. Come to our harvest carnival. Come to our entertainment. Come and get free candy. Come and hear free music. Because the church is going to furnish all that. Well, where do they get the right to get involved in that? They don't. Those things are not a part of the work of the church. It might be okay for individuals to do something at home or on their own, but no, it's not the work of the church. God has not joined recreation and entertainment together with the church. We're to be called by the gospel, Romans 1:16. Because we're saved by the gospel. We're to be kept by the gospel because we're not to add to it or take from it. Simply Satan. Well, Jesus Christ, the judgment's coming. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For all must be fearful of the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done to the body, whether it be good or bad. We need to be careful that we take the Bible, we read it, we study it, we apply it as it is. I don't want to go to hell. Who does? I need to be careful what I separate. If God hadn't separated it, I better leave it together. If God has put it together, then it needs to stay. If God has separated it, it needs to stay separate, because He demands obedience to His Word. Well, the thing we can assume, not only assume, but read from what the Bible says, is that I need to respect what the Bible says, I need to follow it, and I need to obey it. What God has joined together, let us keep together. And the things that He has pulled apart, let us keep apart. And we can do that by not adding to, not taking from, and not changing God's Word in any way. I hope the lesson will encourage each one of us today to be the kind of people that want to say, I want to thus saith the Lord. I want to know what God says, and I want to do it as God says it. I don't want to change it, and I'm not going to. What God has joined together, let no man pull apart. If you're here this morning and there's anything in your life that we can help you with, the invitation is going to be sung. The song is going to be led in just a minute. And so if we can help you with prayer, or if you've never been baptized into Christ, and we can help you with that this morning, we urge you to come while together we stand and while we sing.